Week, this comes from Thich Nhat Hanh, who said, "You carry Mother Earth within you. She is not outside you. Mother Earth is not just your environment. Take care of each other. Peace."
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you, and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all. I'm Anna Lamare. KPFT has been a supporter of my music since day one, and I'm grateful to be a part of this family. Thank you for helping spread independent local music. Support community radio. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Our world's wildlife is one of its greatest treasures. So how do we help protect these animals while traveling? Well, it helps if you keep this in mind. Wild animals can't be tamed without cruelty. So if you wouldn't do it in the wild, you shouldn't do it at all. If you were on safari and found an elephant with its family, would you hop on its back for a ride? No. Wildlife has the right to a wild life. If a shark swam by you, would you try to feed it? We sure hope not. Animals will always pursue food, even if it puts themselves or you in a risky situation. Let animals find their own food naturally. Look for activities that give wildlife the space to act naturally in their habitats. That way, you can see our world's wildlife responsibly. Because wildlife has the right to a wild life.
Have a vegan travel show in store for you, since we have another hot month left of August before the summer's over and a lot of people would like to get out of town. We have a recent traveler who's going to share tips with us. And the opening song we're about to play in a minute is inspired by the vegan camp out, which I didn't even know of, that's been going on for 4 years now. It just wrapped up this weekend in England and Oxfordshire. So it sounds really exciting. They're going to tell us about that in the song. And we're going to find out about other things going on in the U.S. Apparently there's a vegan camp out as well as many festivals. Best Friends Animal Society is having a webinar training tomorrow to do advocacy for the no-kill movement for dogs and cats that we're not doing enough for. We're also going to have the return of the 2-minute vegan recipe, as well as a tip of how to cook on your engine block when need be.
Wow, okay. That sounds interesting.
And which I wish I'd had known when the blackout happened, because it's a good tip for a hurricane preparedness. So anyway, all of that coming up and more tonight on Vegan World Radio.
Welcome to the Vegan Camp Out, a festival like no other. Are you ready for the weekend? So let's go live. What a great vegan vibe.
Vegan Camp Out.
How far will we try? I'm itching on the tent, rolling out my sleeves, priming up the soul for a mug of tea. It's Camp Out. Oh yeah, it's Camp Out. Weather's up fine for the duration, but jigging around to the vibration. Oh, what a great time to be vegan. It's Camp Out weekend, it's Camp Out. Changing the plate, righting the wrongs of yesterday, fighting injustice all the way.
singing. Welcome to the party. Meeting old friends, making new connections, taking this world in a new direction. It's Camp Out. We can, it's Camp Out. Hashtagging for the animals, a buzzing like bees at the festival. Festivals. It's Camp Out, oh yeah, it's Camp Out. Safe in the wild for the sake of the child. Educate them to respect all life. Have compassion for those in strife.
Sunshine,
man, we got sunshine.
We got love, shine, love, shine.
We got love.
Good times, good times,
good times.
Good times. Here at the Vegan Camp.
Oh yeah,
we got kindness, kindness.
We got kindness by the bucket
load.
We are sharing, caring, brothers and sisters. Do you feel good, vegans?
Oh yes,
we feel good. We got tall twogs, a mega line of blue stars, ice cream vans, cake stands, great bands.
Yeah, man.
We're gonna send this out to the nations, motivating world populations, causing cosmic vibrations. We are the future. Go vegan!
Once again, we got Love Shine. Vegan World Radio is here live on the air. Once again, live from Houston, Texas, KPFT, down here on Caroline Street on this nice day. The weather's so nice and sunny here. I heard there was some bad weather recently, but I didn't personally experience that because I was in some place where it wasn't even hot. It was just really pleasant and nice every day. And
you had power.
And there was electricity. And apparently Germany almost, like, virtually never loses power. They have, like, a nearly perfect track record. And it's a little bit weird to just have nice weather in July. But that's half the reason why, one of the reasons why I wanted to go in July.
You were very smart to be gone. It was quite a thing here. Even the station was affected by wicked Hurricane Beryl that really set us back.
It was a little rain, right? A little wind.
Yeah, but, pretty much.
Yeah, so we're talking today on Vegan World Radio about eating vegan as you travel.
And I am Ocean, and...
And kay, mi nomo estas Petro.
So kay, Petro's with me in the other seat here.
Yeah. Mi estas fresh back from travels through Esperantujo, the land of Esperanto, staying with Esperanto hosts in Auf Deutschland and also in Amsterdam and practicing Esperanto and doing some fun stuff and eating vegan all along the way. And so hopefully in the show we can talk about interesting and useful ideas about how you can eat low-violence food even while you're traveling. Because I know for me, I don't know how do you feel about it, but when I travel, if I don't eat, I really get kind of weak. Especially the way I was traveling was really tiring because I took my bicycle. You know, a lot of Europe, it's very bike-friendly, except for the train stations where the elevator is broken. And then it's like, okay, now you have to carry your bicycle up and down multiple flights of stairs. So it's like all of a sudden it's a weightlifting championship, and it's a timed event to get on the next train before it pulls off. So,
well, we have a clip about that, in fact, about weightlifters and builders who are vegan and how to travel and keep your stamina up for really long flights. And But you were mentioning about Esperanto. You know, I think people have heard you mention before that you make your travel economical by pass riding because you've got a family that's in the airline industry. So you're able to get, like you see that empty middle seat, you know, the pass riders are able to get that middle spot.
Yeah, and people love it when you come and take that empty middle seat at the last minute on an 11-hour flight, too. They're like, oh, damn it. Hopefully they don't know that you're standby. But
Esperanto used to be historically linked with veganism, and I want you to talk about that as we get into it, of how it's, at least from your experience, they've, you know, sort of lost the connection. But you are able to travel, staying at people's houses to help out with chores and stuff, right?
Yeah, and at a minimum, I'd say that Esperantists are at least very sympathetic to vegetarianism. Like, they're not against it. Like, they're very thoughtful about if you're not eating animals, like helping you do that. So that's pretty cool. And so, yeah, if you speak Esperanto, you can stay at people's houses for free with this thing called Passport de Cervo. We wanted to have Morgan on tonight. If you remember, many of our listeners may remember Morgan from our past programs, who longtime vegan producer for the show. And she's a big traveler, and she finds ways to do it real cheap. And I think, you know, she often does the couch surfing and has some real positive experiences from couch surfing. You know, and couch surfing's like Passport to Servo without having to learn another language. I haven't tried it.
And she's a polyglot. She speaks many languages. Yeah. We're actually going to, I think she's coming to town in October, so we're going to get to talk to her about all of her travels and more.
Yeah, she's super cool. I wish I was fluent in German like her. Well, so that, like, when I'm on the train and they're like cussing me out, Ausländer, blah, 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 Ausländer put his bicycle in the wrong place on the train, blah, 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 blah. At least I could know what they were saying and say, hey, dude, in German.
Well, and just as a teaser, before you could come straight back to Houston because all the seats were filled, you made a little detour through Aruba, and I want to hear about that, get to that in just a minute. But before we get too far away from the opening, that vegan camping song.
Off track already.
That's all right, but I just want people to know those folks in the UK that have done this for the fourth year, they've already got next year planned. It's the last weekend in August. And it's just like an hour outside of London. So it's going to be really exciting to plan for. And apparently there's a U.S. version that I think they just had it in the spring for the general. But isn't there, don't you have information about the children's coming up?
Yeah, and it seems like a really cool way to travel as well, like camping. And especially if you're practicing like nonviolent eating, then to go camp out with a bunch of vegans and maybe make some friends. It sounds like a really good way to do it.
It's so much affordable. I mean, I've been blessed to get to go to the Animal Rights Conference a time or two. We stay at a hotel, and it's a little, you know, rather expensive. But it's, you know, really nice. It's climate controlled, and there's people in auditoriums and different rooms. But camping is much more affordable. You can do it with your family. They discourage you bringing your dog, because if everybody brought their dog, there, you know, could be some little problems with that.
You can't bring your dog?
Can bring your dog, but, you know, you have to keep him on a leash the whole time. And,
okay.
But I did notice, and they've got a bunch of presenters and speakers, as well as music and stages, but I noticed Dr. Michael Greger. There were dozens of people, but I recognized that name. I recognized, Earthling Ed, who's come through Houston before.
Okay.
He's, of course, British, though, so it makes sense he'd be there. And the other name that jumped out at me is, what is her name? She's the great niece of Cesar Chavez. And she's keeping up, we'll find her name in a second, but she's keeping up with his tradition of being vegan and speaking out for it, you know, in his legacy.
Because Chavez was vegan, huh?
Yes.
Not a lot of Cesar people
Chavez,
talk about that.
But. Great niece, and I can't believe her name flew out. Oh, Genesis. Genesis, I think her last name's Butler. Her last name's not Chavez, but she's just really inspiring. So they had all that going on. But what about in the U.S.? What is there still? What's the website and stuff people can look at for that?
Well, I've kind of got hung up on her name because if you're going to be, your first name's Genesis, like, you just want a boring last name like Butler. Like, maybe shouldn't you be like
well, I could be wrong.
Like
I
Genesis, know. Genesis Wolf, you know, Sun Howler or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, apparently this vegan camp out, the prominent one that's really well organized, has been in Boca Raton the last couple of years. Looks like they have them spring and fall. However, the the fall one this time, they're going to try to focus on it being mainly for kids. They say it's got talks, outdoor activities, and music, fun, friends, food, October 25th. And this one's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
So if you're interested in that, you can just Google for Vegan Camp USA. We have no affiliation with these guys. It just sounds like a cool thing. And the British one sounds really cool, too. Apparently next year, I think you mentioned it's going to be late August.
Last weekend in August, from what I understand.
Man, I think anytime you travel and you can get away from the hotel rooms and the over-tourist areas where you're just hanging out with a lot of other tourists and be around, like, the real people, I just personally find that a lot more interesting. And especially if you can be with like-minded people, then it sounds like a really fun thing. I think we should go.
I do too. The only odd thing is that it's a little bit a different version of English, even though, you know, they think they invented it and all. But like they'll say, I looked at the page a little bit, and you can hire an RV spot or hire a tent, you know, and we only use hire for a person, but they do that for cars and trucks. You hire them. So,
well, as long as their accent doesn't get too crazy. Like I've been in London, like trying to get directions from a bus driver, and the accent's so strong that it's like, are you speaking German, or like, is that English? How is that English? I have no idea.
Oh, they're wonderful, but the UK is a fantastic place for vegan travel, as we know. But I'm glad you mentioned the opportunity here for people with families to head to Florida if they want. And I have a clip, if you've ever, like we mentioned in the preview, about cooking with the engine of your car. Now, I heard about this from my family because they would travel back and forth from California, and they would actually do this, but I never heard of it with the thick tin foil. And you know about engines. You probably want to make sure you avoid the exhaust and moving parts and all that. But
I think you mentioned making sure it doesn't drip into your engine. That could be bad.
Well, let's listen to the clip of that. And then I had an idea for a quick recipe to just something you could heat up that's vegan to give people inspiration for getting away from meat and everything. So,
and it's great to have options in the U.S. Cooking your own stuff sometimes, because some parts of the U.S. are not very vegan friendly.
Well,
so like you're going to want to cook your own food. Either that, or you're going to be eating like the same half raw Impossible Burger at Burger King like every single time you stop, because sometimes and Taco Bell is like the only vegan thing in a lot of places.
Well,
here in Europe, it's very different. But
oh, well, I want to hear about that. But we have a whole hour to get to it. But also the other thing it seems fun about cooking on your engine block is that you would smell as it gets warmer and warmer, and you wouldn't be tempted to go to a restaurant like, oh, let's pull over and have that aroma of the delicious thing that's cooking.
What are you going to cook on there? Potatoes?
Well, or? I have an idea for, I couldn't find, okay, I can't find everything on YouTube, but the first lady, she explains the how-tos of how to do it. And be sure to, you know what you're doing. Don't go in there blind, like you really want to study this. But, and then the second part, we'll go ahead and play those two clips together, but it's the two-minute recipe of an idea of what you could do in your, either in a crock pot or on your engine if you so desire. Oh, and let me just mention the vegan crock pot idea was from her YouTube was very interesting. It was called Plant Wise, not WISE, but it's a clever double meaning of the word, but WHYS, like the why of how, why eat vegan, why eat plants, Plant Wise. So you can find that on YouTube. Anyway, that's coming up after how to cook on your car. And this is Vegan World Radio here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston.
How to cook on your car engine. You will need heavy-duty aluminum foil, cooking spray or oil, food of your choice, and an oven mitt or tongs. Optional, wire. Step 1. Find a hotspot on your car's engine by driving it a few miles and then seeing which sections are the warmest. Metal sections are best, especially the radiator. Step 2. Figure out what you can cook in the amount of time you'll be driving. Step 3. Place several pieces of heavy-duty aluminum foil on top of each other. Tear off big pieces. It's better to err on the side of too much foil than too little. Step 4. Spray or spread cooking oil on the top sheet so that the food won't stick. Step 5. Place an individual serving in the center of the foil and top with thinly sliced veggies and whatever spices you like. Step 6, drizzle the food with a small amount of wine or cooking oil. If you top your entree with lemon juice or slices, make sure the package is tightly wrapped because leaking lemon juice can corrode the engine. Step 7, fold the foil as if you were wrapping a gift box. Step 8, secure the pack on the engine so it doesn't end up on the road. Use wire as needed. Test the pack's security by closing and then reopening the hood. If the top is untouched, add some wadded up foil. Step 9, after the estimated cooking drive time, remove the food pack with an oven mitt or tongs. Did you know? Car engine cooking is taught in hurricane-prone areas as a way of preparing food during a blackout.
Crockpot dinners are a busy mom's saving grace. Usually you think of a crockpot dinner as something for winter, but I think it's even better for summer because you can put it in the crockpot, go to the pool, and you can come back and dinner is completely done. Next up, we have some vegan shredded chicken sandwiches. It can totally be made vegan. Let me show you how. I pre-chopped an onion in my favorite chopper. I'm first gonna add that, and I chopped it really small. Then we'll add 3 teaspoons of minced garlic right here. Next, we'll add the chicken. So we're actually gonna use jackfruit for this. This is in brine, and make sure that you have drained out the brine. While this looks like chicken, it does not have the same amount of protein as chicken, and that's why I'm going to shred some super firm tofu to add to this to give it more protein. I'm literally taking tofu with my cheese grater and just grating it up. Now this only works with super firm tofu, so make sure that you pay attention to which type of tofu you're using. I'm gonna mix this up. All right, now it's time to add in the spices. We'll add 2 teaspoons of seasoned salt, then 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, and then 1/3 cup of maple syrup. Now I'm gonna mix all of this around really well. Now what I love about the crock pot for this is, I mean, technically the only thing that really has to cook is the onions, but it allows it more time for the flavors to seep in, which is better than any other cooking method. We're gonna cook it on high for 4 hours, but it actually might take a little bit less than that. All right, 3 hours later, and here it is. It literally smells just like chicken. We are ready for dinner. I got these rolls. All right, let's add our jackfruit tofu mix. It's like the perfect mix of salty and sweet. If you loved these crock pot dump and go recipes, I know you'll absolutely love my casserole dump and go recipes, as well as my instant pot dump and go recipes. So make sure to check those out as well.
So that's good to know. And remember that vegan YouTuber, her channel is Plantwise, spelled W-H-Y-S. It's very smart, and she's got a lot of really cool stuff. Her other thing she mentioned about the casseroles, again, if you were going to try to cook that in your car, you know, with any kind of grains, you'd probably want something that would cook really fast, like quinoa or maybe those little teeny pastas. I think they're called pastelina. But something to absorb the water. But anyway, let us know if you do cook on your engine block. I've always heard of this. But if it
ruins your car, then...
it's not worth it. Right, just go back to the crock pot.
No, it won't. It probably won't. I mean, what's going to... I mean, I guess if it dripped the wrong stuff in the wrong place, maybe.
When I heard my family talk about it, they talked about some kind of cast iron thing, you know, with like a lid and then wrapped in tinfoil, so it was a lot more secure. But again, that's on flat ground. Like if you're covering, you wouldn't want to be going up hills and stuff with something slippery in your...
Those old engines, they called them big iron for a reason, right?
Like, right.
Like now you'd probably have to take off like a plastic cover to get down to it. Or
like, you know, the kind of stuff you'd cook on a campfire with, like wrapping up your... you know, potatoes and your corn on the cob and stuff, so it's just kind of steaming. And then that's not creating a whole bunch of liquid that's going to drip around. So
it sounds fun. I mean, if you could make it work, it'd be like a ninja cooking trick.
Yeah, or like she said, being a mom with a family, or just even for whoever's in your family, just have a easy, throw it in the crock pot, go out to the pool or to the movies or whatever, come back and your food's all ready to go. So.
And there's lots of recipe books for crock pot vegan, right? Lots of vegan crockpot recipes, and especially if you're trying to do budget vegan with like beans and rice and stuff like that, like that's a pretty good match for the slow cooker, isn't it?
Yeah, but that I think a lot of people think of that as boring, but when you look at the recipes, you look how to zest it up and how to make interesting things that stimulate you to want to try the recipe and try different things.
So. Well, you flavor it, right? You got to bring the flavor to it. It's not like just throw down a slab of animal down and the blood flavors it and everything. With vegan, like, you have to bring the flavor to the food oftentimes. Although things like corn, if you just roast corn and cook it, it's already got tons of flavor. But everybody thinks about tofu for some reason being like the go-to vegan, and we rarely eat tofu actually, and I feel like the tofu in the United States is particularly bland. But speaking of traveling, like when we traveled to Japan, we found that the tofu in Japan was like so much better, like amazing, and they have like not just one flavor. This is what tofu tastes like. But a whole range of kinds of tofu with stuff chopped up into it. You can go into any 7-Eleven in Japan.
It sounds funny because 7-Eleven is associated with junk food here, but you could actually get groceries at the ones there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Japanese like totally live out of the 7-Eleven and the Family Mart convenience stores because the food's actually reasonably priced. It's very close, and they've got some really good stuff in there. Like they have these tofu sticks that are chopped up with edamame. Oh, and the seaweed ones too. A bunch of them are chopped up with like fish, but we can skip those. But the ones that have the edamame, you like the seaweed ones? Because the edamame ones are my favorite.
What is edamame? Isn't that just another word for tofu, like soybeans?
Well, yeah, it was just kind of like some lightly cooked soybeans cooked into the tofu.
To give it more texture. Yeah.
And then it was flavored with whatever, but it was really tasty.
But you didn't go to Japan recently. Where did you go?
Okay, well, so we want to talk about, I would love to just like talk about what I'm excited about, which is what I've done recently, but I also want to do it as something that's useful to the listener. So this is the game is eating without killing anybody, even while you're traveling. Okay, so what are your options? You got the grocery store, you got the convenience store, I guess, but here, you know, if you're going to pay $7 for a bag of potato chips, you can go to an American convenience store. but you got the grocery store, which might mean that you need to cook. Which means, like, if you're like road tripping, we've talked about the cooking on the engine, but you could also, it's also practical to carry a small camp stove, such as a butane stove, and you can stop and cook in campsites or just the side of the road and parks and stuff, and that can be really fun by itself. You've got the fast food. So the thing about fast food is it's at least consistent, like Taco Bell. Is generally going to have the same stuff. Although I just found out that Aruba, Taco Bell still have the 7-layer burrito. So if you're missing the 7-layer burrito real, real badly, you can go to Aruba and get one still. Although two of those layers, one's like the breast milk, two of them are made from breast milk. So it becomes a 5-layer burrito without the breast milk options, the cheese and the sour cream.
Thank you for translating, because people would think, wow, Aruba's really weird.
It's just like it used to be here. They also dropped the tostada, and they don't have that new guacamole sauce that Taco Bell has here, which is really tasty. But so generally Taco Bell and Burger King are the American go-to options for vegan fast food, and they're generally going to have the Impossible Burger at Burger King. Ask for it to be well done, because half the time they don't bother to cook it here. I don't know why.
But so this is if you're traveling in the U.S. on a road trip.
Yeah.
These are vegan tips.
Yeah. And then you can also go to restaurants. So now you have the problem of, like, how do we find a restaurant that's going to have vegan? Because not, like, it's so much better than it used to be, but still not every restaurant's going to have vegan. And they may, they may say stuff is vegan, or they're just like, they don't give a crap. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. Here's your vegan food. And it's like, there's like, you know, cheese floating in it or something. So the solution to that is this website and app called Happy Cow, and we're in no way affiliated with them, but it's just simply what everyone in the vegan community uses as a go-to. And when you go on there, you'll see three levels of veganness. So you've got totally vegan places, you've got vegetarian places, and then you've got veg option places. And you can toggle those on and off in the app. And you can also toggle, a very useful button is to just show the ones that are open. So you've got to figure out, you know, where is it? And the app version will show your location on the map so you can see what's actually close to you. And then if you got to see if it's still open. And then a double check is to go to Google Maps after you've picked a place and look it up in Google Maps, because sometimes the Happy Cow doesn't always update and that restaurant may have closed or moved. Or if it's like in Germany, where the workers have a lot of power, and they'll just shut down places for the summer. They're like, well, we don't feel like working this month, so because we're all going to go on vacation and the restaurant will be closed, so come back in 6 weeks. So you want to double check that a little bit before you travel across town to these places. But having that really changes the game when you travel, because you can like pretty efficiently get to places that are going to have stuff that is low violence, it's vegan, and that's going to be delicious, hopefully, because you're going to see the reviews in there as well, people's experiences at that particular place. And so that's kind of the game when you're traveling. And internationally...
Wait, before you talk about international, can I give a quick tip for domestic travel?
Of course.
Okay, this is, you know, because traveling, it sort of makes you feel a little bit selfish when you think about what's happening to the animals and the hungry people in the world that could be fed if people stopped feeding the plant foods to the animals to be slaughtered. You know, it's there's so many, so it makes you feel a little selfish, but you can also continue your activism when you travel by sort of maybe not guerrilla activism, maybe silent guerrilla activism, not like the animal guerrilla, but the tactic, by pamphleting, like you're about to talk about airplanes. What I've done in the past is sneak a little Why Vegan pamphlets and then leave them in the in-flight magazine so that people find them. When you go to a hotel, at least here in the States, it's not so much, it's kind of dropping off. The Gideon Society would always have the Bible, but I would get the Christian Vegetarian Association thing, slip that in the Bible, or if they've just have maybe a directory of community things, you could, I mean, if you really want to go the extra effort, like if you're going to some city, Washington, D.C. or something, put like a vegan guide, you know, of where people could go, because, you know, people are stuck in that room, they're when they get tired of looking at TV, if they do happen to look at the stuff in the shelves, slip some thing that the cleaning lady or the cleaning staff is not going to find. So
you file that under "Thou shalt not kill" when you stick it in the Bible.
Right. You want it to be skinny enough that it won't bulge out of the books or anything. They'll just kind of slip it in. Just like, you know, people tell you to leave stuff in waiting rooms and doctor's offices and wherever you can. Or, which has happened to me before, when people at a restaurant or someplace, a sandwich shop, ask you, why are you ordering like this? Why are you avoiding the meat? And you, instead of just explaining it, if you have something handy, maybe wallet size, that you can just pull out to give them to more links and resources. Yeah. Because I have had people ask me more than once, and I think, why am I not more prepared? So just going that extra effort for the animals and for the movement, you know.
Well, I feel like it's activism just to support places that don't serve dead animals. Just to give them money and eat their food, and sometimes you're just sitting out front of a place and there may be no one else there, but people walking by, they're seeing like, oh, there's somebody eating at that restaurant. Oh, like, what's on their plate? Oh, that looks pretty good. And so I feel like that's a kind of activism as well, and it's supporting other people who have come to the realization that we don't have the right or the justification to kill animals. And there's people like that all over the world. For example, when you and I went to Japan, to Tokyo, it was, you know, that's a place where most restaurants are not going to be vegan friendly. They just put fish in everything, and it can be challenging. But when you go to the vegan restaurants, it's like an oasis, and there's people who they have had that light bulb come on, and they're willing to stand out and do something different. Which some of the people we spoke to in Japan said that's often difficult to do there and still be accepted. And so I think by just frequently these places, you're kind of banding together with like-minded individuals. So
yeah, what was Will Tuttle said when he was in town? Vote for the world you want with your dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like back in the day, like way, way back, but there were you know, places that refused to sell slave cotton, and you could go and you could buy clothes that you knew that none of the it was made from like any slave goods, and you could support justice that way. So this is supporting justice for animals. So when you're traveling, it's going to vary a lot depending on where you go as to what your vegan options are. And I'm here to report, and you know as well, because you went to Germany a lot last year and earlier this year, that Germany, I would have thought, like, knowing nothing about Germany, you think of like chubby guys that eat a lot of sausage and drink beer.
Jeez.
So the beer for sure, but apparently the Germans are generally not fat anymore. They're generally like health nuts, and like they're into like cycling and saving the planet. Like there's a strong, not everyone obviously, but their culture leans strongly towards environmentalism and justice and social justice. And the number of vegans in Germany, especially among young people, is apparently very high relative to like the rest of the world. And so in Germany, you go into almost any restaurant, they have vegan options. And it's wonderful. They actually label things in the restaurants and in the grocery stores. So, you know, here you kind of have to study a little bit, know what some of the ingredients are that are made from dairy products. Because, you know, here they've really backed away from putting the word vegan on anything, even stuff that's made by vegan companies. They may say plant-based, or they may not even say sometimes because they're afraid of, like, turning off people that have been listening to all that conservative propaganda that's always complaining about, you know, take away your hamburger. In Germany, it's so different. Like, almost everything that's vegan will have a giant V on the front, and it'll say vegan, or it'll say vegetarisch, which is vegetarian, which may include dairy or eggs. And so it's very clear what's vegan, and a lot of the things that could easily be made vegan, they seem to just go ahead and make them vegan. Like, oftentimes in other places, grocery store items, they'll be almost vegan, but they'll just throw in a little bit of milk fat or something. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, you couldn't make this you couldn't substitute a different kind of fat and just gone ahead and made that to vegan so that it's about maybe 1 in 20, 1 in 30 Americans that are trying to eat vegetarian, vegan, could also have that without any trouble. In Germany, there's so much that's vegan. And I was told a story by a vegan over there that apparently the heirs to one of the main companies that makes sandwich meats, that makes like the sliced deli products, sandwich meats, and they have all these different flavors of salami and a bunch of things that I've never heard of. The heirs to that company are all vegan. So they're actually strongly pushing that company in the direction of being vegan. So they still have like the animal death products, but side by side, they'll have the equivalent vegan products. And the other cool thing about Germany is that the vegan stuff is cheap. Like, groceries in general are substantially cheaper than they are here. But especially the vegan stuff is much cheaper than here. Sometimes it feels like there's like a vegan surcharge or something on some of the meat products and stuff. But the vegan meat products in Germany are way cheaper. However, I was very surprised. On this trip, I went to Amsterdam for the first time. And, you know, they're right next door to each other. Like, Dutch kind of sounds like Deutsch. I thought maybe they weren't that different. I had no idea. And I was very surprised that the vegan products in Amsterdam are not well labeled. They still have a lot of vegan stuff, not as much as Germany, but a lot, but not well labeled. But a kind of a cool thing in Amsterdam, apparently they have a lot of longtime African people that have African descent. And so you can actually get vegan versions of African meat products in the Amsterdam grocery stores, which is really interesting to me as like a cultural development. And I got some of those things in there, and it's actually delicious. It was really tasty. So traveling there as a vegan is no problem at all. No problem at all. But anywhere you go as a vegan, the other part of your strategy is hitting those grocery stores and getting stuff that's shelf-stable, doesn't need to be cooked, and having a certain amount of food with you. So if you get hungry, get in a bind, and you can't easily get something vegan, then you can whip out your vegan protein bar or whip out peanut butter and jelly. When I was came back from Amsterdam, the flying standby, the flights were super full. Still a lot of people trying to get home from all the problems they had with the IT outage a couple of weeks ago. And so I was looking at the flights, and I just really had no choice. I had to go to Aruba to get to Houston, and I had to stay a couple of days because United. I was flying on United, and they only fly from Aruba to Houston on Saturdays. So, you know, I just out of necessity, I had to go to the Caribbean islands for a couple of days. And
what a labor! What a tremendous
it was a sacrifice.
Hardship! Yeah,
it was a hardship. And Aruba was not especially, I mean, it's way less vegan friendly than Houston, Texas, and it's way less vegan friendly than Germany. So I was kind of thrown back onto the grocery store stuff. And also I found out that everything on some of these islands is very expensive, which I didn't see coming. I guess I should have, because everything has to be brought in by ship, and so the groceries there are quite expensive. But what a weird blend of products they have in the grocery store there. They have like a lot of American, but they're like right off the coast of Venezuela. So they have all this like South American stuff. Because it's Aruba apparently is one of the three islands that is still a part of the Netherlands. Like the people that live there are actually citizens of the Netherlands. And people I talked to said that they're very happy to be part of the Netherlands because all the kids get free college. They get to go to university in Amsterdam and stuff and get a lot of support that way. So they have Dutch products in the store as well. Amazing selection of fruit. I wish that, you know, we're not allowed to bring a lot of these exotic fruits back from these trips because they're trying to contain the spread of bugs and diseases that affect plants. So it's very understandable. But walked into a grocery store that had seriously like a dozen kinds of fruit that I didn't know what they were and never had before. So like the people that want to travel to try different kinds of fruit, I'm thinking of you, Snail, people it's a fan of the, if you're on YouTube, there's this channel called the Weird Fruit Explorer.
Yeah. Is that it? And he just does fruit, but it's something like the Weird Food Explorer, but he only does fruit. So, I mean, if you like search for trying different fruits or taste, what do different fruits taste like, you know, search like that kind of stuff, you could find him. But he goes everywhere and really educates you about what they taste like, what they look like, where you find them. And he's surprised constantly in his travels with finding new stuff at farmers markets and things.
Well, I was just in the grocery store. I did not expect that from Aruba, but I guess I should have. They would have these really interesting South American fruits to try. So that was really super cool. Going back to Germany, I got to try a couple of things that I'd never had before, different kinds of berries, different kinds of plums. They're really into these flat peaches. It's just a peach, but it's smaller, but they're like sweeter. Like they turn, you get them a little bit raw in a couple of days, they turn super sweet and juicy.
You can find those here too. I think they're called donut peaches.
Oh, really?
They're real flattened, yeah.
Okay. To me, it's part of the fun of traveling to try like these different kinds of foods. And because it's changing the food culture a little bit to limit yourself to the non-violent foods, to the vegan foods, it makes you step away from just the run of the mill. Like I said, it's not just you want the hamburger or the fish or the,
right,
you know, the typical, like regular meat diets are so mundane and homogenized. But because vegan's a relatively new thing, like people are creative about it all over the world. And so you go to different vegan restaurants and they're, you know, you go to like, if you go to different meat restaurants, like every seafood place is going to have like the kind of the same stuff, like some variety, but not that much. Like every burger place is going to have the same stuff. But you go to different vegan restaurants, it's extraordinary. Every menu is going to have like just wildly different things you've never heard of, combinations you've never tried. So if you don't like trying new things, then I guess that's a hardship for you. But if you enjoy different varieties and kinds of foods, then that's another plus for being vegan, actually.
Well, you know, and I want to encourage people because, you know, a lot of people are struggling right now with money. That's why, you know, we suggested that like the camping or road trips or, you know, make it affordable. Also, you know, our wonderful departed friend now, Shirley Wilkes Johnson, who co-founded the show back in the day, she used to say, you know, they were had a second marriage, both of them, and children, and so they couldn't really afford to travel as much as they would have liked at the time, but they did this terrific thing that people can do who can't afford stuff, research these kind of foods and different recipes and things, find out something about that country or place you'd like to go, and kind of create an experience within your, and she would have every member of the family read something about that place, and she would create the recipe and talk about the food. So kind of travel, even if you can't afford it. But, you know, it's so important for Americans in particular. Apparently they don't travel enough. And so if you can't afford it, do a virtual tour like that. Find so many wonderful things people have shared on YouTube. In fact, we have one, if there's time for it, of Mexico City, which is another place you went on another trip. That's surprisingly vegan that you can find the places.
Yeah, let me just wind right back to that to answer something that you said too. Like, okay, absolutely trying different cuisines without traveling is cool as well. But especially when you're traveling, it's really even better. The traveling part makes it more fun.
Yes.
And then I think that what I find is I find new favorites that I want to come back and then have here. So, for example, in Germany, I know this exists here, but I was didn't encounter it as much as you do in Germany. And it's this idea of a fresh mint tea, or they call it Frischer Minz, or something like that. And essentially, you take like a handful of a small handful of mint leaves and stems, and you put it in boiling water. I like with a little bit of sugar, and it's amazing. Maybe I'm the last person to know about this, but I picked that up from there. And now
I was impressed.
I've been making it now.
Yeah.
The first time I tried making it, I tried like tearing up the leaves, and that was not good. I'm not sure why, but this. Then I went back and observed some more. It's like, oh, okay, they're not chopping up the leaves; they're putting the leaves in whole. Like, okay, I'm going to try that. Okay, that's really actually that's delicious. Or similarly, when I went to Japan and stayed with some Esperanto speakers, I stayed with this elderly couple. And the old lady trained me on how to cook, because after that she wanted me to do all the cooking for her. But so she's like, okay, now we're going to make this stir fry. And the first thing she did, I thought she'd lost her mind. Like, she chopped up basically like what I would call iceberg lettuce, and then she fried it.
That it's was like, pretty wild.
But it was delicious, and she's putting in soy sauce and a little bit of salt and flavoring it, and that was really tasty. But then she added this other leaf. She kept adding this other leaf. And I said, what is this? Like, what is this leaf that you're adding? And she said, oh, shiso. Shiso. What is shiso? I've never heard of shiso. But now, having come back, we actually found a Vietnamese nursery up off of up over in Acres Homes, off of West Montgomery Road, and that you can buy shiso plants there. And we've been growing shiso. And so now we put the shiso, the Vietnamese way is actually you just chop it up fresh and you put it on your rice and stuff. Or the way that my Japanese friend taught me is that you can, if you're doing stir fry, you just put some shiso in it. And it doesn't take much. There's a little bit of shiso, but it really gives like a nice savory flavor to the stir fry. So, you know, it seems like the world, it seems like with the internet, like, you know, everything's everything all at once. Like the world's like piled up on top of us. But in reality, like when you look at the world from a different perspective as you travel, like it makes you more creative, and it opens you to doing different things, and you can bring back some of that stuff to your daily life here. And especially as vegans, I think that there's just a lot of exciting options with that. And Morgan has traveled to way more places than I have. Many people have traveled a lot more than I have. But I've been so excited and blessed by the places that I have been. And I just want to encourage like anyone to consider getting out there and being in these different places and with an open mind, like seeing what people are up to. And I don't know, it's very exciting to me.
Well, let's see.
Oh, and then Vegan Mexico City. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead with that.
Oh, so Vegan Mexico. So there's a couple places in Houston that are vegan Mexican food. And one of the things that you'll find there is vegan pastor. And they actually even had vegan pastor in the Amsterdam grocery store, too. You can sometimes find it in grocery stores here, but not very often. But in Mexico City, I went earlier this year very briefly, but the vegan pastor there was amazing. And the cool thing about Mexico City too is that the food is really cheap. The vegan restaurants are really cheap. The first one I ate at made me really sick to my stomach, but I guess that's apparently part of going to Mexico. People say it's true, and it did happen to me as well. But one of the things you'll see on Mexico City, if you look on the Happy Cow app and you see the map of where the vegan restaurants are, they're basically just in the tourist areas, in the expatriate areas. Like, it's almost like a map of where those areas are. And so I think the rest of Mexico can be rather challenging as a vegan. But if you go to Mexico City, you're probably going to be like in those central tourist areas anyway, and tons of food trucks, tons of restaurants. But the flavor that they were able to impart to like the vegan pastor, which is like a kind of like a chopped, like shredded meat kind of thing. And the flavor they put in like all the food was just extraordinary.
Let's listen to that. We actually have a clip from a vegan YouTuber. You can find this at Rated V for Vegan. And this is about exactly what you're talking to. I think it's a pretty quick clip. Let's listen to that and then organize the rest of our show. You're listening to Vegan World Radio here on 90.1 KPFT in Houston.
If there's one taco you must eat in Mexico City, it's the Al Pastor, because it's everywhere. But if you're vegan, there's no need to have FOMO. So why is this taco so iconic? In the 1930s, a wave of Lebanese immigrants arrived to Mexico and introduced shawarma, meat cooked on a rotating spit. By the 1960s, Mexican-born children of these immigrants began opening their own restaurants and combined their heritage with a Mexican twist. Hence, the Al Pastor taco was born. So what's the story behind the restaurant? Every day, the vegan al pastor is made out of wheat gluten and marinated for 24 hours. Then it's hand-picked to form the perfect shape on the spit. The iconic pineapple is then placed on the spit as the base for the meat to be formed. And cut and grilled for the perfect juicy crisp. Then it's of course served with locally made tortillas, garnished and topped with the iconic pineapple.
Okay, and now it's time for the best part, to try the Al Pastor tacos that they are known for. I topped it off with their guacamole salsa, the spiciest one that they have here. They serve it to you with beans on the side. I love that they put the double tortilla, so it's like a really good filling meal. All right. I love that the meat is like really juicy inside and has that nice char on the outside. The color is beautiful due to that adobo sauce that they put on top. If you're a meat lover, I challenge you to try this. It has great flavor. It doesn't feel dry. It feels meaty. It hits that spot for that craving that you want. Especially if you're in Mexico City, you want Al Pastor tacos. Come on, like that's what they're known for here. So you don't have to miss out. You get to enjoy in that as well. I love that the pineapple gives that touch of sweetness, the lemon that you put on top.
What's up, everybody? It's Dane Miller from GarageShrink.com. So I've heard a ton of different people say to me, well, you know, when you're traveling all over the world, you can't really eat that well. You can't eat vegan. You can't eat on a high protein diet. It's not possible. You're not capable of being able to continue to lose weight and be healthy while you're traveling. And I tend to disagree. One of those things that I take pride in is that I travel at least twice a month, where I might be gone for 4 to 7 days twice a month. And I might be flying to Thailand, to Malaysia, to Uzbekistan, all the way to Tokyo, wherever you can imagine I am traveling. And one of the big factors is, how can you focus on being vegan is preparing ahead and eating well and making those conscious decisions ahead of time so that you're not in a bad spot when you're actually traveling. So I think there's a couple key factors when we're talking about traveling while being vegan and making sure that you can actually uphold your standards. It's like, one, you gotta look at where you're traveling to, okay? You gotta make sure, like, all right, for me personally, I'm traveling to Tashkent, Uzbekistan. That's on the complete opposite side of the world. So I've gotta look at the hotel I'm staying at. I gotta try and factor in, all right, is there a grocery store nearby? Is there things that I can do to try and make sure that I'm eating vegan and making sure that I'm abiding by my standards for my current diet? But on top of that, I've got to prepare, right? I've got to prepare ahead of time. And so one of those big factors is, what do we do tonight? We ended up making right here, okay? We've got chickpeas, black beans, cauliflower, broccoli, and tikka masala. And on top of that, we've got right here a whole bunch of rice. And so that rice is gonna go with me on the airplane. I'm gonna take it with me, and so that I have a ton of rice, I have a bunch of carbs, so that while I'm traveling, I'm able to uphold and eat decent quality food. And then when I'm traveling, I wanna make sure I've got my vegan chocolate, right? I've got my gluten-free bites that are also vegan. I've got my edamame beans right here. I've got my Common Ground plant-based protein, okay? I've got my chickpea protein snack. And what else? I've got my broccoli bites. So if I have all this stuff planned ahead of time, now when I'm traveling, when I'm on the airplane for 12 to 13 hours, and then when I get to the destination, I have a decent amount of food, especially that protein source. So if I have my protein source planned ahead, I've got a whole bunch of Common Ground with me. Now I know it's gonna be a little bit easier. I know I'm gonna have a little bit more time. So this is planning ahead. It's establishing what I want to do. And now when we travel, it's going to be a little bit easier for me being vegan.
Garage strength. Yeah, so you made a good point. When you're on these airplanes, you're not always going to be vegan. And if you're going to Europe or somewhere, or Asia, it could be a 10-hour, 12-hour flight. So bring some stuff with you. Maybe they serve you vegan, maybe they don't, but you got some food with you. It doesn't matter. I like almonds. is kind of my fairly cheap, cheapish go-to that's really filling. He loves his broccoli bits and his and his protein sources. And I think that you prefer to travel with
lots of fruits and fresh crunchies like celery and the bell pepper sliced up. And that's what I can't get enough of when I travel because I get too much crackers and stuff. I want the fresh stuff. But he's a muscle guy and a bodybuilder, so he wants all that protein. You know, they're always talking about that.
Well, you can do both.
You can do that vegan, which is very important.
Absolutely. In fact, you can the very, very high vegan stuff is actually very, very high protein stuff is vegan because like vegan sources can be higher protein than meat. Meat has less protein than people think it has, actually. And like you say, the vegetables, if you're eating your fruits and veggies as you travel, that's good for your intestinal health too, right? Maybe some Pflaumen, as the Germans say, a few plums, dried plums to keep things moving.
Yes.
when you're moving.
Very important when you travel.
And we had a caller that mentioned that some of the Middle Eastern food, like in Tel Aviv, has some extraordinary vegans. So we'd love to try some. I actually had some Israeli vegan food in Berlin on my last trip. And thank you,
caller, for the feedback.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Man, what they did to eggplant, wow. I didn't know you could do that to an eggplant. It was extraordinary. And so many good options in town, too, here. Like if you want to try some amazing like Iranian-influenced food, you can find that at one of the local vegan restaurants here. Amazing options around the world if you look for it.
Well, I did have one more announcement I wanted to get to before we run out of time, but we want to thank Basil and ask him what's coming up on his show on HD2 right after ours ends. Whole Mother will be on the broadcast, but on the podcast. What's your show again, Basil?
Yes, so the show is Interspectrum 2. This week, I believe we are talking about some new video games that are coming out because there's a video game that I like that's coming out soon. So we're talking about that, some fashion stuff. So
very
just
cool.
Along those lines.
Go to kpft.org and you can click on HD1 or HD2. So there's lots of good stuff to listen to. Let's see, before we run out of time, did you have anything else to say?
I just want to thank everybody that supported the vegan show and Basil's show and this station in general, keeping it alive. We are listener supported. You may notice there's no advertising here.
And every
donation really counts here, and we appreciate y'all.
And you can fade up on 9 as we get close to the end there, Basil, because I'm always bad at missing the cue. But I did just want to mention bestfriends.org, Best Friends Animal Society. If you go to their no-kill information, there's a webinar about how to be a better advocate for a no-kill future for dogs and cats. They deserve it so much. And just during the hurricane and the outage, I noticed all the hungry animals on the street. So I carry dog food and water in my car. Tune in again next week for Vegan World Radio. A vegan world will bring us peace. And there'll be a great celebration the day the last slaughterhouse closes down.
And get out there and try some low-violence food around the world. Do it.
Ugly dogs are people too. They need hugs just like me and you. Give them shelter from the storm, take them home and keep them warm. Ugly dogs need more love, on the street or in heaven above. Go down to the pound, make yourself a friend. Remember what happens in the end. The pretty ones live, the ugly ones die. And that's the reason why ugly dogs need more love.
I went over to visit my friend Spike the other day and was confronted by 9 of the most visually challenged animals I've ever had the pleasure to meet. I said, Spike, where'd you get all these ugly dogs? He said, at the pound. I said, that's commendable, but why are they all so, he said, ugly? I said, He said, because the pretty ones get taken right away, but the ugly ones stay.
Saturdays, 10 a.m., no expectations.
Oh, time.
Be a chocolate Jesus.
Falling.
Be good to
captured us.